Call-in talk radio hosted by who else? Abe and Joe. At 9 on Alternative Radio, hear Naomi Klein talk about atmospheric consequences. Naomi Klein's an award-winning journalist, author, and filmmaker. Her articles appear in major newspapers and magazines all over the world. She's the author of the bestsellers No Logo, The Shock Doctrine, and This Changes Everything. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, local news hosted by Chris Andre. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. At 11, on stage and studio, host D. May Roberts features the Outright Theater Festival with artistic director Rusty Tennant, who is directing the world premiere of the musical Under the Influence. The festival celebrates the LGBTQ contribution to theater, while also serving as an incubator for developing work by or about the LGBTQ community. Other guests include Under the Influence's Ernie LaJoy, composer Kevin Larson, and Jack Stocklin, who is directing They, Them, There by Lila Janelle. At 11:30, we'll hear an episode of Book Waves hosted by Richard Walensky. His guest is Carrie Perloff, the artistic director of American Conservatory Theater in San Francisco. She discusses her memoir, Beautiful Chaos, A Life in the Theater, and talks about the role of nonprofit theater in America today. Thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not yet a member, become one. Go to kboo.fm and click on Donate Today.
And stay tuned now for an interview by Janka Soderbergh with Abraham Mubarak about last weekend's Pitch a Tent action. Good night, Ken.
Good night, June. Good night, Danielle.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
We're joined on the line now by Ibrahim Mubarak with the Right to Survive organization, helping houseless people here in the Portland area. And Ibrahim, I wonder if you could start by telling our listeners about the Pitch a Tent action that took place on Friday evening and Saturday this past weekend.
Okay. The Pitch a Tent event is a direct action and a protest against the city officials or the decision makers, however you want to call them. And when one day they allow people that live inside to come pitch tents out on the sidewalk to watch a parade, which generally discriminalize people without housing when they look for them, put makeshift shelter or tents on to protect them from the aggressiveness of homeless phobia and being harassed by the police and the environment. So what we do every year, we put tents down around 10 o'clock, which we allow to attend the next morning so homeless people can, you know, get a safe night's sleep on the street. Not only that, we have speakers that inform them. We have entertainment and food, and that's where Right to Survive, Right to Drink Too, and their allies and different organizations and supporters and volunteers get together and enjoy the festivity. Just because you live outside don't mean you shouldn't enjoy the events here that's public.
And I understand there was a car accident that took place in front of these tents on Friday night, and your organization and the people participating in your action stepped in to help the wounded. Can you talk about that?
Yes, this is something that the houseless community and the organizer cry out to everybody all the time, and I don't know why it's hard to believe. However, that it's not the houseless people that tearing up the city streets, that's turning over trash cans and being drunk and disorderly. It's the people that live in house that come down and enjoy the entertainment time. However, at this one particular incident, that this couple, I guess they was drunk, and so they hit a car about a block away from us and tried to escape and turn and didn't realize they was going down a one-way street. And we saw, well, not everybody, but some of us saw the car speeding up. And then, you know, this is the best way I can describe it. It may seem that I'm insensitive, but it seemed like a bowling ball was hitting pins, I was seeing people go up, you know, in the air, and, you know, they hit a couple of bicyclists. And then if it wasn't for some of the parked cars along that route, they would have ran over people that were sleeping in tents. And so it bounced off a car. And then I guess that's when they realized other cars was coming at them. So they tried to turn down the right way and ran into the scapel on 4th and Washington. Now, when that happened, because this happened in front of us, the houseless community was there trying to attend to the people that was injured, like Jonathan from Rose Hills Medics. He was there. And then the other houseless people didn't want to harm. They wanted to see if the people in the car are right for their safety. But then when they tried to run, you know, some of the houseless community and their allies and supporters surrounded them and said, no, you can't run. You're going to stay here. And 911, I guess everybody got on their Obama phone. Thank you, President Obama, for the houseless community. And 911 was busy, and that's when they came in. And so our event was kind of stalled for about an hour because people were traumatized and shaken up. And it was sad how tragic but true that reality took place in front of our supporters, and they finally realized and said, well, wow, these are not houseless people that's walking down the street drunk, kicking tents and doing. These are people that live inside. Even the business Rialto, I guess it's a bar, eatery, and place where people go gamble, or I think it's on 4th and Star, where it was telling this waitress and the maitre d' not to serve anybody with Right to Survive shirt on because we was representing the houseless community. So we tried to film them in doing that, but these are the prejudices and discrimination that we go through. And people finally got to see exactly what we're talking about. That's why we asked y'all to come out in the streets and see reality.
Well, I think one of the things that people who have never experienced homelessness might have a misperception about is that there's a kind of a winner-take-all mentality or all-against-all on the streets. And in fact, many people help each other out. Can you talk about the camaraderie and the need for people who do live on the streets to actually help each other?
Well, that's so true, Jenka, that people, I've seen more kindness and a helping hand from the houseless community than the selfish, stingy way of the people that live in house. I'm not saying as a whole. I'm just saying as an individual, but I believe it's more individual that live inside that selfish and stingy. And that's because the houseless community know what it's like not to have anything, what it's like to go through drug addiction, what it's like to have mental and physical disability, what it's like to have your children taken away from you and your family separated, what it's like for people to degrade you because you don't have a house. They know what it's like to have no public restroom, no public shower, no public sleeping space, or, you know, all of that. And so when one of us are in need, you know, we get together and we build that community that helps one another because you never know when you're going to need help. And so if you can relate to it, you know what that person's going through. Why not help? And so we were consoling one another. Even the band that was playing stopped playing to see if they can be of use or help.
And what was the reaction of people who were not with Right to Survive but were camped out for the parade?
They was like in awe or shocked and big eyes seeing everything, you know, and asking questions like, does this go on all the time? Is this really reality? Do the police know about it? And as you see, the police was just harassing the houseless people. And we told them, yes, this is reality. This is what goes on. So I don't know if they're going to write anything about it or speak up or start joining us as allies to approach City Hall that, you know, about certain things that you know, address houseless issues, but they was very, really concerned, and they looked sad, you know, and some of them put their head down. I know Adam, I don't know his last name, from Food Not Bombs, he saw where the police told one of our allies to move their car and stuff, and so the people that live in house could come bring their car and set up tents right in front where we, I mean, not set up tents, but set up chairs right where we were sitting. And I said, hey, we've been here since yesterday at 10 in the morning. Why y'all going to just come in and push us out the way? And the guy said, well, y'all houseless people. Y'all can go anywhere. And I said, well, you don't think they can enjoy, they should enjoy the festivity? And this one guy, I guess he got drunk in the bar. He took a chair and started beating down our tents. You know, and so they saw all of this. And again, we got a lot of them video. We're going to be putting our videos up on YouTube as we edit it and put things together. So keep your eyes open and go to Right to Survive and Right to Dream 2 website or YouTube, and you'll see a lot of stuff that happens and goes on in the streets that you're unaware of.
There is this wide gap between the perception of houseless people who are often portrayed in the media and in just the common perception in our culture as being drunk or addicts and people who are causing problems in the society, and the reality, as you put it, that in fact, many of the problems are being caused by housed people who come in to the downtown of Portland to engage in entertainment and get drunk and start carrying on. Why do you think there is such a wide gap between the perception and the reality?
Because nobody's going to blame, you know, you're going to blame the lowest person on the totem pole, right? And so houseless people don't have no voice, so it's easy to blame them. But if you look at reality and put yourself in that position, you're not going to, you know, and people sleeping on the streets, on the sidewalk, you're not going to, I'm going to try to be as nice and gentle as possible. Don't use the restroom where you sleep. That's saying go. You're not going to break glass or turn over a garbage can and you're going to sleep in that spot. I mean, we're human. So it's not us that's throwing bottles and turning garbage cans over. I've seen people, young guys that just got in college or graduated from high school, trying to show off in front of their friends or girlfriend and turn over garbage cans where they can't handle the liquor or stuff. Women and get sick and can't move, and we let them sit down there and call a cab for them at Right to Dream 2. This goes on all the time. And you all should look at some of the film that Mike Bluehair from Film the Police or Dan Henneman from Cop Watch, when they go into the streets and film the police. Also, we have an Under the Bridge walk every other Tuesday where we walk the streets and ask houseless people what's going on. And anybody is welcome to go on those walks with us.
If people are interested, how can they find out more or contact your organization?
They can contact my number. They can contact Right to Survive or Right to Dream 2, or go down to the location where we're at, or call me at 503-839-9992, or go to our website, righttosurvive.pdx.org.
So righttosurvive.pdx.org.
Yes.
Or call 503-839-9992. To find out more or get involved in the work of Right to Survive. Now, I know you're in negotiations with the city as far as the location, and probably aren't able to talk about what is going on with the space that you're currently occupying in downtown Portland, and that may change in the near future. But what do you think the city should do citywide in order to address the really increasing problem of houselessness in the city of Portland?
I, you know, it's a lot of twofold things, and what we really need is, in the meantime, solutions like rest areas, organized rest areas where people can put their tent and belongings and sleep until we can come up with a big solution. It's lots of ideas I have swimming in my head, but they may take long term, and so we need to, again, this is what the Right to Survive, Right to Dream to continue to say. Meet with us at the table, not just meet with us and hear but actually participate and partake in the consultant wisdom of the houseless community and do what they ask. Because if you know how, if you living inside and you don't know what's going on outside, how are you going to address and manage us with not knowing something? That, I mean, that's a waste of money. As people have seen, the 10-year plan to end homelessness is now going into, what, 25 years now or something, and they still haven't done it. Only way you're going to end houselessness is to make things affordable for people to rent, build more affordable housing, and address the mental issues. And I think it's a big distinguish than alcoholic and drug addicts. I'm not saying that don't happen in the houseless community, but the majority of my people who live inside, who come to the streets looking for street drugs, I think we need more treatment centers. I mean, if somebody is ready to go in for treatment, they should go in. They shouldn't have to wait months, or you shouldn't have to commit a crime in order to get help. So that's some of the things that people don't know. If you're not on probation or parole, it's hard to get help when you want to go to a drug treatment.
And would it help to have someone who is houseless or formerly houseless in City Hall, actually, as a commissioner or the mayor of Portland?
I agree with you wholeheartedly, and we talk about that all the time. And I know my name came up a lot, but I don't think this city is ready for someone like me to sit on as a commissioner, because it really wouldn't go the way they think it would go. I'm a people person, not a corporate person.
I've been speaking with Ibrahim Mubarak, who is with Right to Survive and has been a major organizer in this past weekend's action to